give a mighty shout and clap to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Please take your seat for a moment. Because we are still in the spirit of worship. Today is a service like no other. The Spirit of God wants to do something different today. I feel there are some people here who came expectant. Your hearts are hungry. And just for you. Oh, thank you, worship team. God bless you. But I'll need you back here in a few minutes. Worship team, I'll need you up here in a few minutes. Thank you. I was saying that the Lord can visit this place for three people. Three. That's just how the God works. He can even come for one. Abraham asked him, Lord, if you found 40 people in that city, will you burn it? God told him no. He said, okay, 35. He said no. Abraham kept that conversation until he went up to 5.
10,
there were 10. And God said, no. I know that if Abraham had kept that conversation up to one person, God was going to tell him, I will not send fire to that city. So what does that show you? That God can save a city for one person. One person. One person. The Bible says righteousness exalts a nation. One righteous man can save a whole nation. That's just how God works. So I know that there are some people here who are stumbled In moments of worship. You turn around and you look at someone else being indifferent. They don't care. Hey, don't. Just relax. In fact, that's why we encourage you to close your eyes. So that you can create an environment for you. And place a demand on the Spirit to visit you. When I say visit, I'm not talking about the one that lives in you. No, I'm talking about the anointing upon your life to change your destiny for good. I'm talking about that thing that God can put on your life and change your entire life. Even go to your history and change it. Do you know God can do something in your life? That when people meet you, they can even forget where they saw you. God can put a glory on your face and make you shine. That you just enter the marketplace and you don't need to do anything. That glory just pulls them to you like a magnet. When we tell you to seek the Lord with all your heart, we are trying to tell you something big. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Now, we are in a season. Allow me to go straight into the word without going anywhere because the moment we are in is a bit special. And you will find out later if you haven't figured it out. Rita, as you look for Haggai chapter 2 verse 5, Just put it up there. We are in a season where we've been talking about the process. And we've said a lot. It's an honor and a privilege for me to stand here today. And I think today might be the last time we are talking about, not the last time, but for the season. The process. Yes, the season where I've been talking about process. We talked about the law of process. Pastor Carol came here and talked about the law of process. Some of you were here and she said a lot. But I remember one of the things she said. She said that it is possible for the earth to be disquieted or disturbed. There are things that can make the earth disturbed. And we read that scripture somewhere in Proverbs, I think 31, that talked about the servant that sits in the place of a king. We talked about the maid who becomes a wife. There was another one. What's the third one? Someone can remind me. Good. Thank you, sir. The fool who is filled with food. Amen. He says, when those things happen, the earth is disturbed. And what she was trying to tell us is that God has willed for you to become a king. I'm talking to all of us, even the ladies. A king. Amen. But there is a process for you to get there. She was trying to tell us that if you want to get married, it's okay. It is God that created marriage. But there's a process that gets you there. Praise the name of Jesus. We learned a lot. I know that the next time she talked about how people that have not yet reached that place through their process. Supposed to be under governors and tutors. And we learned that situations come to teach us different things. So some of us, our governors and tutors are the life we are living. It is the work, the job you're doing. You're not there just to earn your 700,000, but you are in a class and God is teaching you things. But then she also thankfully also told us, because God is a God of process and He's the one that teaches us ultimately. He has given us His Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the ultimate teacher. There's no teacher above the Holy Spirit. I might have a degree or master's or PhD. By the moment I stand here, I cannot speak by my knowledge. If I don't speak by the Holy Spirit, then I am nothing. I can't change anyone's destiny. I can't cast a vision on your spirit. I can't truly reveal Christ to you like you need to be revealed to. The days we are in, we don't need motivational speakers here. Don't get me wrong, motivating is good. Some of us just need to be motivated sometimes. But when you sit in the presence of God, there, I must come to you with something from the throne. Paul says, my words to you
Paul agamba nti ebigambo byange gye muli
we are not in persuasive wisdom
tebyali mu magezi ga kusenda senda
and enticing words
na bigambo binyuma kuwulira
with wisdom of men that comes to nothing
okuwa magezi g'abantu agatavaamu kintu
kyonna said no He says, when I was among you, I came to you with the demonstration of the Holy Spirit and His power. And he said, when he spoke, because he carried the power of the Holy Spirit, his words stirred in the minds of his hearers the most holy emotions. And the Bible says, thus persuading them. So when Paul preached, he gave a certain power to his words that persuaded the hearts of men. That is what every believer needs in this life. When you go to do business, you just don't need the skill. There is a certain power you need on your life. Omanyi basobola okubba abantu.
They might cheat people.
Naye mu nsi muno waliwo abantu be batabba.
But there are people who are never cheated in this world.
Say that's me.
Gambo yoyenze.
Shout amen.
Gamba amina.
It is possible.
Chisoboka.
To do business.
Okola business.
And no one can cheat you.
Ngateli no maso akunyaga.
It is possible. You just have to function by a certain power. But again, that power has to be the highest power. Because men have found powers in this world. Oh, don't you know that the Bible says that the men of this world are under the power of the ruler of this world? The power of the spirits of darkness? He calls them principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness in this world. There are some people who do business with those powers. Now, as a child of God, because you don't want to associate with those powers, do you just sit in your room and... Because you will just leave business alone because it is for evil people. No. You just have to tap into a power higher. There is a power higher. So we learnt a lot. We learnt about respecting the process. How that many people in this world, especially in the church, sadly, many people in the church want to skip the process. Because you learnt, you see, there's someone who had what I just said about power. And they will say, so that means I don't need to study, I just need power. So they will go to their prayer room and start asking for the anointing. Give me the anointing, Lord, to do
business.
Turn this little shop into a multi-million dollar business. There's one problem you have. You think that God is a magician. He doesn't work like that. He loves you so much. He would have wanted to do that for you. But again, in His grace and mercy, He knows also that if He did that for you, He would kill you. I love my son so much. But there are things my son can't ask for, even if I had them in my hands and give them to him. Because he is still in a certain process of growth. And yet one day I know we will sit on the same table and discuss business. Because he will have matured. So when God tells you, come, let's reason together. He's calling you from one light that He has given you the mind of Christ. With the mind of Christ, you can discuss with God. Because the Bible says, what does the scripture say? Who can advise the Lord? Who can tell him what to do? But the scripture ends by saying, but we have the mind of Christ. Have you ever imagined that? That you can sit on the table with the Lord and tell him what to do? Some of you want to be so holy and you are in false humility. You hear such a statement and you say, what are you saying? You, God will send fire. Don't you know there is a man in the old covenant who sat and advised the Lord? God tells Moses, let me kill all these people and destroy them and raise up a new nation for you. These guys were in rebellion. Everything God was telling them, they were doing the opposite. So God goes to their leader Moses and asks him, just allow me. Can you imagine that? God is asking the man, can you allow me? God is asking Moses, who he gave those people to allow him to take them. And the Bible says Moses refused it. Moses had to convince God to change his plans. It is possible to advise the Lord. There is a prophet in the Bible, Hezekiah. The Lord comes to him through a prophet and tells him, arrange your house, put it together, the Lord is taking you home. All the guy does is turn to the wall and petition God. The Bible doesn't tell us what he told him. But knowing how God works, we saw how God answered. And we know what Hezekiah asked the Lord. Because when God turned, he told him, I've given you 15 more years. Now, let's reason together. Does that mean that the prophet who brought the news at first was false? The prophet who came to Hezekiah and told him that the Lord is taking you home, was he lying? No, Hezekiah just stepped into a power higher. And he knew how God works. That a doctor can sentence you to 3 months and tell you your issue cannot go past 3 months. But if you know what to do, you can change that judgment. You can change it. And some of you give in quickly. You don't have a backbone. The wind just comes and blows you. In a report of a man who just bambi naeba amusomesa bisomese. No offense, doctors. Doctor Nsonyi Wasebo. No offense. Amina. We love doctors. We believe they are the extending arm of healing of God. But they are not God. They are not God.
Doctor Sikatonda.
God is above all. The Bible says he is above all. He is in all. And he is through all. That is God. Learn how to deal with God in the process. We learned how to pitch tents. There's so much we have learned. And last Sunday, we also learned the difference between going through a process and being delayed. Now, today, I was asking the Lord where he wanted us to go next. Because as we are closing this season, we needed some wisdom. The Lord needed to tell us how to close this season. In seeking the Lord, the Lord tells us that There's one question that is on many people's hearts. And that question might look like it's an obvious question, but it's not. And that question is how? The Lord reveals that many of us here are asking ourselves, how? Yes, you want to pitch a tent in the right place at the right time. But how? Yes, you want to respect the process and go through everything God has ordained for you. But how? You want to yield to the law of process and let it have its work in you. But the question is how? The Lord comes to answer you today. Haggai chapter 2 verse 5. The Bible says, according to the promise that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. He's talking to the children of Israel. He told them, so my spirit stands and abides in the midst of you, fear not. There's another version, I think KJV says, that my spirit remains. My spirit remains. In very few minutes today, church, I want us to talk about yielding to the Spirit of God. There is no other way you're going to go through the path of life God has set for you unless you find out the wisdom of yielding to His Spirit. Every one of us here must understand this and understand it personally. Don't understand it as a church. No. Understand it for you. Because you must understand how you to yield to God. God the Father is seated on the throne in heaven. And He rules and reigns over His kingdom. God the Son walked upon this earth. The Bible says He laid aside His majesty and put down all His glory. And the Bible says He was humble enough to take on the form of a flesh. It required humility for Jesus to enter this body. Because this body is a body of limitations. And you remember we were talking about it and we said the body is a tent. It's a tabernacle. Praise Jesus. So Jesus takes on the form of the flesh. And He walked upon this earth. It is said for 33 years or so. And when His work on earth was done, the Bible says He is seated at the right hand of the Father. Even if some men have seen Him standing, there are people who did things and they made this man to stand. The Bible tells us He's seated. When Stephen was being stoned, if you ever care to read that story, I think it's Acts 5. And the Bible, was it 5? I don't know. I'm not so sure. We can get it. Acts 5, I think it's Acts 5. The Bible says Stephen preached a sermon. In fact, his sermon is in that chapter. He spoke words with so much power that He caused the Pharisees and Sadducees to gnash their teeth. They were filled with so much rage and anger that they picked up stones and started to stone Him. And the Bible says before he died, he spoke the words that Jesus spoke on the cross. The Bible says he saw the heavens open. And he saw the Son of God standing at the right hand of the Father. So ask yourself, what did Stephen do? What did he say that caused the Son of God who was seated to get up and say, this is it. This is it. This is what I died for. I will leave that one for the people who are contemplators. So, I was saying that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. But before Jesus goes, he speaks to us and says, I will leave my spirit. No, I will send my spirit to you. He says, when the Spirit of God comes, that is the one who will be with you, abide with you forever, and will be in you. So the Spirit of God is on the earth. The Spirit of God is on the earth. He lives in you. That is how God abides in you. Now, how do you yield to Him? The Bible tells us of very many people who understood the power of the Spirit. And they yielded to that spirit. Joseph.
Yusuf.
No more man. No one knows anything about him. You small young boy doesn't, no one cares. And the Bible says, he goes through a certain process. One day, because he had learned how to yield to the Spirit of God. When he has an opportunity to stand before Pharaoh is a representation of this world. So when he stood before the world, he had an answer for this world. When you yield to the Spirit of God, He can make you a solution to this world. Some of you contribute to the questions of this world. And all you needed to do was to shift from that space and believe God that you have been made the solution. So when Pharaoh sees Joseph, the Bible says, he said to his people, we have not found a man in whom the Spirit of God is like this one. That was Joseph. He stands before Pharaoh, and all Pharaoh can see is the Spirit of God upon him. Let me show you another one. Moses,
Musa,
normal guy, has his weaknesses and issues like all of us. He has his life story. But God calls him, and the Bible says he turns to see. When he did, God takes him through a process. And we see in the book of Numbers, one day, Numbers 11, I think 17. We see that one day, after Moses has delivered the children of Israel, he has been trying to help the people and lead them. But he was getting tired and was getting older. So God speaks to Moses and tells Moses in Numbers 11:17. He tells him that I will come down and talk with you, and I will take off the spirit which is upon you, and I will put it upon these people, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you, so that you don't bear it yourself alone. What am I saying? One day, God tells Moses that I can help you to lead these people. He tells him to choose 70 elders in Israel. Nsanvu. And this is what I want your eyes to go to. God didn't anoint these 70 afresh. Lydian, God got what was on Moses, split it, and put it on the 70 guys. One man walked this earth and carried what could fit in 70 people in him. And it didn't change him or diminish him at all. Which means if God had told him to get 1,000, what was on Moses was still able to fill 1,000 people. Now, think with me. What kind of anointing on you can be divided and be made to fit into 70 people? You only know one thing, that Moses had to yield to this thing. Amina.
Amen.
Awuliro tulogamba amina. Ngamuli banji. Praise the name of Jesus.
Mukama yebaziwe.
Bambi. Naliko awo. Ne mukama yatununula. Ne nawo ja kuwangula. Gamba amina. Amina. Yes. So Moses.
Kati Musa.
Moses.
Musa.
Had to yield to that power.
Yewa ili amanya.
He had to.
Yalino kwewayo.
He had to. In fact, the Bible says in Psalms 103, verse 7, that Moses knew the ways of the Lord, but Israel only knew his acts. So there are people in this life who know the ways of God. There are people in this life who are only limited to his acts. Miracles. So Jesus tells a certain man that now that I've told you, I saw you under a tree. I think it was Nathaniel. He told him, now do you believe? There are people who only believe because they see. He believed acts. Moses knew the ways of God. I mean, that means Moses knew how God was going to work. But also that knowing there, that word know is a relationship. It is a relationship. It's a relationship. You must have a relationship with God. Past what he can do and give, to yield to him. There are many people in the Bible. If I was to give you examples one by one, we would need a lot of time. Let me speak to the business people. Exodus chapter 31 verse 3. Exodus 31:3. The Bible says, I have filled him. There's a man here, if you go to verse
1,
there's a man that was called, verse 2, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, design artistic works to work in gold, in silver, in bronze. Verse 2. See, I have called my name Bezalel. I've called him by name. And it tells you he's the son of Uri, the son of Hur, the tribe of Judah, verse 3 now. He says, I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship. If you read that story on, you will understand why God had to fill Bezalel with the Spirit of God. They were going to build the tabernacle. But what I want to show you there is workmanship. The skill. That came from the Spirit of God as wisdom and understanding in knowledge.
Obwava moyo wa Katonda magezi okutegera n'okumanya.
Anyone that is doing business here,
buli mtu yenango okola business one.
Listen, you might have done all the courses in this world and finished them.
Ulirizo enzo kubanga osomie courses za business zo nano ziga.
Those things are not going to really be your saviors. Even if those things help, they have their part to play. They have already set you on a certain advantage. There are people you can't be in the line with just because you have your degree. But hey, that degree is not enough to save you. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of God can fill you with wisdom in understanding and all knowledge in all kinds of workmanship and craftsmanship. You can set up a business that looks normal and the idea looks as if many people have done it. But because you've not come from the realm of people, that one idea can be amplified and given a certain power. N'otunda ennyaanya nga waliwo ekiziriko nga tewali n'omu akitegeera. Weesanga otunda okola ki bagita batya? When you ship them, export. You export them.
Nga ennyaanya ozitwale bwerwe eggwanga.
Weewuunye ensi endala n'ejja ewuwo ogisupplying ennyaanya.
And another nation will come to you looking for supply.
That is what the Spirit of God can do in a man.
Moyo wa Katonda ekyasokola.
If you learn how to yield to Him.
Singa otegeera okwewaayo gy'ali.
David understood this thing.
Daudi yategeera ebintu.
And he said, because he had seen one day,
olw'okuba yalaba olunaku lumu.
The Bible says, when the Spirit of God left Saul, immediately an evil spirit sat on him. Let me give you this, church. Every person here, you are yielded to something. The question is, what? There is something that pulls your mind faster from anything. Now check your heart immediately. Because if that something is not the Holy Spirit, you are in trouble. So when Saul lost the Spirit of God, immediately an evil spirit sat on him. That means where you're not yielding to God, you are yielding to a certain spirit. But at every point in your life, you are yielded to something. Tell God, help me. So when David sees this, that is what fuels his prayer. In Psalms, I think, 51. Psalms 51 verse 11. And it says, cast me not away from your presence, O Lord. And it says, take not your Holy Spirit from me. Now, the New Testament church, we cannot pray that prayer. Because the Holy Spirit lives in us. And the Bible says He will never leave us. He abides with us forever. But you can lose His power. You have the Holy Spirit, but you cannot yield to Him. The Bible says God is everywhere. In fact, one time David said that even if I lay my bed in hell, you are there. But the question is here. Is the Holy Spirit functional in hell? Because there is no yielding there to Him. Is the Holy Spirit functional in a bar? So you will walk in it. And you will walk out, you're still saved. But if perishing came, you're going to perish with the sinners, and yet you had an answer in you. But it is only limited because you don't yield. That does not make the Spirit of God weak. That makes you weak. If you don't yield to Him, you are the weak one. He is not weak. That's just his nature. So David feared it so much. That's a place that all of us should be. To fear to lose his power. To fear losing his substance. What is the solution to all this? Stop treating him just as a force. Amani. Don't treat him like a force. Don't treat him like a certain power. The Holy Spirit is a person. He is a person. I would need a whole hour to explain just this. What makes him a person? Unfortunately, we don't have time. But the Holy Spirit is a person. He desires to relate with you. He desires to fellowship with you. He desires to teach you. The Bible says he teaches you in all things. The Bible says you have an anointing from on high and you know all things. This word knowing, to know God, is a place of intimacy. You have to know the Spirit of God. You have to be intimate with Him. Let me read you one last scripture and we pray for a few minutes. In Acts chapter 17:27. The Bible says that they should seek God in the hope that they might feel after Him and find Him. And the Bible says, although He's not far from each one of us. Have you read that? The Bible says that Holy Spirit is not far from any of us. There's only one problem we have. We don't know how to seek Him. But even when we seek Him, we don't feel after Him. What is feeling after Him? Now that you know your life depends on the Holy Spirit, have some moments in life where you sit alone and tell Him, Lord, this is time with you. Sit alone with Him. Start a relationship with Him. You will see. You will see the results. You will not do business like others. You will not think like others. He will start to infuse His thoughts and life into you. You will just find yourself with answers to things that people don't know how to answer. You will find yourself in a business meeting. In the boardroom. Where all people that you work with have no idea how to solve something. But you, the owner, the bearer of the Spirit of God, you just know it. You just know that this is how we're going to solve this. Beloved, there is no other way. God has set this earth to function by His Spirit. We must yield to Him. You must yield to Him. I was watching a certain sermon recently, and a certain man of God, Benny Hinn, was explaining this. And he wanted to make it practical. So he gets a chair. And he says, do you see this chair? Do you know who made it? Do you know its condition? When you walk into church like you did today,
I
didn't see anyone trying to check the legs of the chair first. Why did you just sit when they said sit? Because you have yielded to that chair. You remove any sort of your own wisdom and you sit. Even now that you're seated, you can even be compelled to check and it's still okay. But what makes you think that you won't break it in 2 minutes? What gives you so much comfort that you even start swinging in it? You see, because you yielded to it. You know that it is going to hold you. You trust it to hold you. You trust it to be there until you are done with it. That is what yielding means. The Holy Spirit is not a power. Power is just one of his attributes. Holy Spirit is a person. That means he can talk, he can feel, he can think, he can sense, he loves you. Just like when you love him, he can feel it. When you trust him, he knows. He also knows when you say, I trust you, Lord, but you have plan A, plan B, plan C, up to AX. He knows it. Because he's a person. Now that you know, yield to him. Yield to the Spirit of God. Can I have these people back here? Thank you. Listen, church. You will never uproot any seed of the flesh. Anything that was planted in you by the flesh, unless you understand how to yield to God. The biggest battle we have as believers is a war with the flesh. We need to win this war. Just slowly, smoothly. We need to win the war of the flesh. Paul says, I beat my body. Let's take it down. And I keep it under. Lest that after I have preached to you all, I will be rejected. Can you imagine that? That I stand here and I speak for this time we've spoken. But when the Master comes, I am rejected. I don't fear anything in my life like that. I don't. God is calling us to a place of yieldedness. The process is there. But it can look so smooth and easy if you just subtract your strength. Get out your strength. Get out your wisdom. Lean on God. Lean on the Holy Spirit. Some of you have never understood what this means. And today you have an opportunity to begin a relationship with him. All you need to do, there's not much. Just tell him, Lord, now I know that I can't be alive if it's not by your power, if it's not by you. I choose to lean on you. I choose to yield to you. The word yield means, I think I forgot to actually define that word. Let me define that word for you, to give you context. The word yield means to surrender. The word yield means to submit. Remember the example of the chair? You surrender to that chair that it will hold you. You don't even know which factory in which it was made. You just know it is a chair and it will hold you. Yielding means to give way. Some of you are the reasons God is not using you. You are the one. You're in the way. When he speaks, you also speak. He tells Jeremiah, I knew you before you were born, you were in your mother's womb. And God says, Lord, but I am too young. Lord, do you even know my age? Will they listen me? I am just 19. You are in the way. Get out of the way. That simply means if God says, I have called you to own the biggest business in Uganda, you receive it and you say, Lord, I am yielded to you. Get to your feet.